Log Talk Radio. And welcome to episode 250 of Heart and Soul for Women of Faith, where we speak boldly about faith, hope, purpose, prosperity, and how we're making a meaningful difference in the world as business owners, leaders, and entrepreneurs. We share our own stories and strategies to encourage you in your journey and to help one another achieve success. I'm Jory Fisher, a featured host on Blog Talk Radio, with my guest, Jana Beeson, who will speak with us today, March 26, 2021, about how actors and entrepreneurs can create their own big break. Hey, Jana, thank you for joining us on Heart and Soul for Women of Faith. How are you today?
Hi, I'm doing well. Happy Friday to everybody.
Happy Friday. And of course, people might be listening any day of the week. So happy any day of the week to you.
Happy day to you.
Happy day to you. Well, Jana, before I give our listeners a few instructions and invitations, would you please share the primary message that you're going to be talking about today?
Sure. Well, I'm speaking, yes, as an actor and yes, as an entrepreneur, but I feel like this message can really relate to, you know, whatever industry you're in. But bottom lining it for everybody is just there are no mistakes. Whatever you've been up to, whatever your past, experiences and stuff are, they really do play into how you can create a very meaningful future for yourself. So, yeah.
A note of optimism and hope. I love it. Well, thank you, Jana. Blog Talk Radio has been hosting Heart and Soul for Women of Faith for several years. You can listen to any of my archived on-demand episodes at blogtalkradio.com/Jory Fisher and on my website, joryfisher.com. You can also subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts. If you would like to comment or ask us a question, please call 515-605-9750. That number again is 515-605-9750. You'll be placed in a call queue, and you'll be able to listen to the show while you wait. I'm a former public interest attorney and law professor who's been coaching and training lawyers and entrepreneurs since 2004. Please visit my website, joryfisher.com, to enjoy hundreds of free resources, including blog posts, podcasts, videos, ebooks, and my Discover Your Purpose starter course. I also invite you to take a quick assessment to get a free customized report all about you. Knowing your bank code, as we call it, is a first step toward dramatically improving your relationships. And for our business owners out there, increasing your sales up to 300%. Go to crackmycode.com/report. That's crackmycode.com/report to rank your values, discover your bank code, and get your free personality profile. And now it's a great pleasure to introduce this person here who just happens to be one of my amazing, talented daughters. Jana, it dawned on me that when I first started Heart and Soul, you were in high school.
I think I was in, that sounds about right. As soon as you were saying, oh, I've been doing this for several years, I was like, I think we're past several. This has been definitely, like, come on, are we talking a decade now?
Yeah, I started in 2009, so a little more than that.
Wow.
I did take a break. So I did take a break, but resumed it a year ago, and it's been about 8 years altogether.
Well, thank you for having me. It's 250. I can honestly say when you first started this, I mean, not to say that life isn't interesting as a high schooler, but I feel like I have a lot more to talk about now.
Yeah.
So
I love that you went down the entrepreneurial path. You're the only one of our, of the seven now grown children in our family that did that.
Well, I feel like I was the one that spent the most time with you, watching you through that process.
That's true.
I mean, because there was a half of the people were in college already, and, you know, some of the other ones were, you know, at their after-school sports. And then I would have, you know, I theater is a sport and everything, but sometimes those rehearsals would be at night. So I'd come home in the afternoon, and you would still be working, and sometimes I'd procrastinate on doing my homework. So I remember sitting on a beanbag in your office just kind of chatting at you while you were trying to work. And you're like, okay, Jenna, do you want to at least bring your homework in here so we could both be quiet at work? And I was like, okay.
Hint.
Wow.
We'll hear more about that, I'm sure. But let me tell people a little bit about you. So Jana Beeson is an accomplished business owner in the entertainment industry, and she has a revolutionary app that she's going to be telling you about, launching April 2021, that is sure to help many educators and actors. As CEO of The Actors Code and co-founder of Actors Casting Technology, Act Now, Jana is passionate about helping actors supercharge their careers and easily outbook the competition in a fraction of the time. An actor herself, Jana got her BFA, Bachelor's in Fine Arts, in theater and acting from a top four acting school, Southern Methodist University, before honing her professional skills in D.C. and New York City, working both in front of and behind the camera on commercials, indie films, features, and TV shows. She additionally loves seeing both sides of the casting table as a casting director. An Atlanta local as of 2020, she is enjoying building new opportunities in the Hollywood of the South while being of service virtually to actors all over the globe. Her website is Jana Beeson, that's spelled B-E-E-S-O-N. Oh, I better spell Jana, J-A-N-A, JanaBeeson.com. Jana, anything else you'd like to add just to your intro here?
Yeah. Let's also talk about, if you guys want more information on our app and all those kinds of goodies, definitely check out actnow.biz, and that's biz as in showbiz, so actnow.biz.
So that would be B-I-Z.
Yes.
Right? Actnow.biz.
Yes.
Okay, cool.
Mm-hmm.
Very good. Well, Jana, I know you've listened to a lot of my shows, seen me record a lot of my shows, and you know that I like to start out by having our audience get to know the guest.
Mm-hmm.
Where would you like to start? We could go back to birth, and we could go back to how you are a whole 4 minutes older than your twin sister. But I think maybe we should start somewhere around the time that you started to think about being an actor and then about being an entrepreneur.
Sure. And I want to first acknowledge that, I do realize that I'm extremely blessed for, well, multiple reasons, but one of them being I started to get hints as to what I was passionate about and what I wanted to build my life around, you know, at a young age. And I know that not everybody gets that opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
And then moreover, I had a mom who was, you know, like a purpose, an entrepreneur coach that, you mm-hmm. know, that helped further refine that messaging and that guidance for me of like, yeah, no, but seriously, this is what I want to do. And just, you know, I kind of hope that as we're talking today, that this can also be an opportunity for other people that are listening to, yeah, sometimes you do need to go all the way back to elementary school, middle school, high school, to like, what did I like and what was I interested in back then? And
exactly.
What have I maybe been skipping over thinking
mm-hmm.
because, oh, that's not a reliable career path kind of a thing. So, because I'm going to have to go back here where we have to talk about middle school or even, okay, let me quick step in elementary school of, I mean, I really have, I don't want to do the whole cliche, I've been dancing since I came out of the womb. Mom, if you had any idea how many times I read that on people's bios, I'm like, come on.
Oh my.
But, Oh, yes. So it was in elementary school. I remember, like, our first big show that I could be in was Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory, and, you know, being completely heartbroken because my twin sister got a speaking role and I was a Balloompa number 12 or whatever. Oh, I remember, Mom. I do. And, but, you know, just continuing to start doing some drama programs in the afternoons, and that really led to getting into the Magnet Middle School, that they are, they have a really, really incredible drama department. This is Dunbar Middle in Lynchburg, Virginia. Run by the Carters, got to give them a shout out. They are still Facebook friends with me and still, you know, always checking in and say, oh, it's fantastic. But no, I started
getting involved
with Carters.
Make sure they listen to this,
yeah,
Jana.
I know, exactly. I remember being involved with, you know, every show then, one way or another. I tried to figure out whether I was behind the scenes or on the stage. I felt like those were the kinds of people I wanted to be around, and I feel really blessed because I know not everybody gets this in their drama department, is that, you know, I had really exceptional professional teachers that were, you know, and it was the level of professionalism on top of it they really taught us. It wasn't just putting on a show. It was like being responsible, showing up, doing good work. So I feel really grateful that I got to learn that from an early age. And then,
hey,
Mom,
Jan, I want to interrupt by saying, I knew you were good for musicals. You know, I knew that. however, when I saw you as Anne Frank in Diary of Anne Frank.
I'm so about to talk about that. Yes.
Okay. Talk about it. I'm like, okay, this is a whole new level.
Mom, you were totally on the same wavelength, 'cause that was definitely what I was literally about to come out of my mouth. Because I remember you've always been, I mean, because your background is, you even went to school at one point for theater, and I know you decided not to do that for a full vocation. But then, you know, just growing up, I got to see you in community theater.
Always
and
musical.
So you've always been, and you've always been like, go, Gina, go. And Dad absolutely loved him, and also more of a very practical and, you know, he'll be the first one to admit if he's like, I think, you know, I let my fear of needing, you know, the plans and the set career and the knowing, you know, kind of step in your way a little bit, because he did. I remember at a young age and be like, okay, well, that's nice that you like theater. What else do you like? And then I also remember being so excited in middle school that, like, I have to go to EC Glass, which, you know, if you guys look it up, I don't want to say bad things about where it is right now. It's not at its height, but when it was at its height, it was like, you know, we were raising $75,000 a year in ticket sales, to put on, you know, like 7 or 8 major productions.
Amazing.
Renting sets from Hollywood and, or I'm sorry, Broadway and different. I mean, it was unreal. So
shout out to Mr. Ackley, Tom Harris, Troy, all of them.
Yes, Troy Markle. Oh my God. Yes, so many.
And you guys won so many awards in the state.
Lynchburg,
Virginia.
Again, never. I will never gloss over how blessed I was to be in those situations. And sometimes I think about that when I go back and listen to Malcolm Gladwell, Outliers, and when they're trying to like map out for people how Bill Gates got to where he was today, and they're like, well, you know, how many people were in a place where they could practice coding and have access to it? And you know, I get it that I was very fortunate to be in a space learning from such incredible, hardworking, talented people. Let me go to the Anne Frank. Let me tie this together.
Please.
So I'm, you know, trying to tell Dad, no, I want to do this. I'm going to do this. And he never like mean about it ever. I mean, Dad's not mean, so that's not possible. But you know, I could always see that he was a little hesitant and worried about me. But it was after I did the Diary of Anne Frank, which I take most of our, lovely viewers already know that story and how famous and everything that is. And so I played, you know, 14-year-old Anne as a 14-year-old, And, you know, Dad comes up to me after the show and he's just like, I can tell he's kind of doing his dad kind of teary-eyed, but not trying to be teary-eyed. And he was like, so what do you need? And you guys, I want to thank you because you, I know that you'd already been, you know, putting aside some college money for us. And, you know, I told Dad that I wanted to take a bunch of singing and voice and additional acting classes, which I knew was a financial investment for you all. And I asked him, can I use some of my college money to do that? And he, I remember like 14, 15 years old, him being like, do you understand what you're doing? He was like, do you understand that you are taking finances that you have right now that could be used to definitely pay for your college versus, you know, or using it right now on the risk that this might not pay off for you and you might just be paying for classes that don't. And I said, I know, but I'm willing to take that risk. And thank God I did, because I did get some incredible scholarships to, you know, to SMU and different things that I don't think I would have gotten if I didn't have resume and classes and education that I did. So
let me,
I'm gonna have to do a footnote of learning here for everybody. Sometimes you have to do it. You have to take some risk. I know that some of us are more in tune with being, you know, on board with risks than others, and that's okay. But it is viable. It is totally viable to look at if you've put stuff on hold for the future, whether it's a time or it's finances or something, being like, is there something, can I borrow from my future to improve my present to build a better future? And
well said, Jana.
Thanks. I can't say that I came up with all of those concepts myself. It's been many wonderful mentors over the years. But I just keep doing that. And I feel like that's something that's going to come up when we're talking today is I am 29. And by all intents and purposes, you know, I don't have the savings, the retirement package, the, you know, husband and kids, the, you know, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, that, for whatever reason, we still kind of have in our head of what somebody
success
at this
looks
age.
Like.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And I know I don't have that, but I am, I mean, you guys hear how I'm just energetic and I'm energized. I literally just got off another work call right before jumping on this of just, I love where, you know, the business that I'm building, the relationships that I'm building. And I feel like even though I don't fully have, you know, the full retirement package in the bank right now, what I do have is I have this incredible business that is going to, that could very easily and potentially be, you know, 10 people's retirement package. So, and I get that that's not how everybody likes to play it, but I want to give people that permission. Not that anybody needs my permission, but sometimes you just have to hear it from other people, that it can work out. And, but I feel like that's also what we're going to talk about today is that not like
well,
I was happy the whole time about
to
it.
Weave, honey, we're going to have to weave in personality type too. I mean, you happen to have the personality type that's willing to take risks.
Yes. Well, definitely as, oh gosh, I guess that takes us into, so, okay. Yes. There. I know I'm more of a risk taker than you and Dad.
Oh, totally. Mm-hmm. And Dave, your stepdad, my
husband.
And
Dave, and so it's, but that's okay. I think it's, you know, I see some people just get stuck because they think that there's only ever one way to do anything. And, you know, as a creative, whether in the art and an entrepreneur, I know that I have a little bit more skill set towards this than others, but I want to remind people to get creative and go find, you know, other options and other answers, because there's probably more out there than I think, you know, people give themselves credit for when they feel like they're stuck and there's no place to go. It's like, yeah, at least get on the Google or something. Like, I promise there's more out there.
The Google.
The Google.
Cute. Mm-hmm. Okay, so here you are. We've established that you got some awesome scholarships to go to Southern Methodist University and bragging mommy. An amazing theater program, and you got a coveted spot. And you did something mm-hmm. very practical. You had a choice, didn't you, as to what your major would be, even within theater. And what did you do?
Yeah, they have a straight acting track. And then they have another thing called theater studies. And so acting is, we have the same curriculum the first 2 years. And then the last 2 years, you get to specialize in different areas. So the acting majors, they get to take extra classes in voice and movement to better understand their instruments, that is their acting body. And then, you know, those of us that did more theater studies, of course, we could continue to take acting classes. But instead of getting into the more advanced movement and voice classes, we could choose to take stuff like directing and playwriting and stage management. And so that's what I did. And I ended up doing stage management. I did take some directing classes, which I'm really grateful for, because now I'm inadvertently didn't realize it, but now I'm actually, teaching acting classes that involve a lot of directing. And I'm like, wow, okay, coming back around. But that
and
was
Janet,
my...
And did you take sound classes, or did you just pick it up?
Oh,
because I know
yeah,
you've
no,
also
no,
been
I
a sound to... engineer.
Yeah, well, a little bit of that. Let's... Yeah, so as a stage manager, SMU, incredible, incredible program, because they do make you take a little bit of everything. You have to study lighting, and you have to study set design and costumes and stage management, and they want you to understand the process as a whole, and I'm really grateful for that. I know a lot of programs do it, but if for anybody that tries to get out of those classes, I'm like, you guys, this is how I supported myself, and this is how, not to say anything wrong about some of my other friends that chose just acting, but I have gotten, you know, Facebook messages and stuff from them of like, wait, I see you posting that you're on set every day. What are you doing?
Right.
And I'm like, I'm using these other skills that I learned in college, stage management, you really do need to learn a little bit of everything. All of the different departments, and then I was able to translate those opportunities into film and production. And a lot of that, I mean, it's management is management is management. If you know how to work well with people, organize time, and, be proactive, that really comes into play in so many different ways. So it's not absolute rocket science. Like, definitely if somebody wants to pick up film at whatever age, like there's certain aspects of it that you can do. That is the really cool thing about this industry is it doesn't matter what age you are, truly. I have students where I'm teaching everybody from like 10-year-olds up to people in their 60s. So I love this career. It just spans, you know, everybody and anything. I don't know where I'm going with this, but yeah. Oh, okay. So if you
well, one thing
feel like
I'd like you to do is to give a shout out to Charlie and Tommy for their help. I mean, there's so many people you could give a shout out to at SMU.
Yeah, these are definitely these are some of the lovely SMU people that have helped me. Jim, Bernard, Michael, Blake. Those are some of my acting teachers. Rhonda, Gretchen, oh my gosh. I'm sure some of my other classmates that were listening to this are going to start cracking up. And if I, Brad, he was my stage management teacher. It was just really great to be learning from, even though it was a small, quote unquote, small program, they tried to keep the program, including teachers and everything under like, and a grad department under like 100 students, because they really wanted to give us that much focus and attention. But even though you did end up having some of the same teachers a couple of times, like there really was a big divergement of people that you got to learn from, and that's such an important life thing. Like even if you do become like, hey, this is the person, you know, this is my life mentor, I cannot say enough for getting education from multiple places, because you'll get a different perspective that might click in your head different than you ever really realized. Yeah.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Okay. But don't forget to mention Charlie and Tommy. Tommy Newton.
I know. Tommy Newton, Charlie Halpert, they helped get me in the door in the first place. So very, You know, they help get the ball rolling, so we very much appreciate them. And I know Charlie was one of your teachers.
He was my professor in theater, loved him. Funny. So shout out to them. Couldn't help it. You know, our listeners are probably going, oh, you guys. But Tommy and Charlie will appreciate it. All right. Go ahead, Jana. Take it away.
Okay, so I mean, what's next? Like, I mean, I think really what happens is there's traditional education. So there's the middle school, the high school, the if you choose to do college or whatever. But the importance of continuing to study. I know we've heard that adage of like, you know, always be a lifelong learner. But seriously, always be a lifelong learner. It was incredible. My first year out of college, even though I was doing, I was substitute teaching during the day. And then some days during the week, I'd go work at a children's marionette puppet theater because that was like the closest job I could get to the entertainment and as an actor.
Mm-hmm.
But I read something like 30 or 40 books that year because it was the first time that nobody was telling me what to learn and I got to pick. And I think that that's something that a lot of people can, like, really benefit from is sitting down and being like, what do I want to learn? What do I want to know? Versus I know a lot of students were just trying to, like, make it through. And but when you get to that point, when you get to start listening to, but what's important to me, it's a whole different thing, set curriculum versus your interests. And, that was a really great year. And, you know, I'll try and speed up a little bit of this process so we can get, you know, just
get to the point.
So I know that, so we did that for a little bit. And then I knew that I was in, South Carolina, Columbia for a bit. And then I wanted to, go up to New York, but I wanted to save some more money. So thanks, Mom and Dave. I stayed with you guys, like, almost a year? No, that can't be. Oh, God, it might have been. And, you know, saved up several thousand dollars, thank you, that I could move to New York, you know, safely and comfortably. And, of course, like as soon as I got there, I was already, you know, spending money, of course, obviously on rent and food. But I started investing in classes like within the first month or two of being there because I understood that classes is networking and skills and resume building and so really grateful for that. I actually just talked to some of those people that I was in school in those classes with a few years ago.
Awesome.
You know, I actually talked to them this week, so that's funny. So did that and New York started turning into I started down the route of auditioning, daily submissions, which can be a real beast when you are a full working actor and trying to do a survival job. Because when you are submitting for jobs, you know, to the extent that actors should be, it can be a 2 or 3 hour a day process because you're supposed to check in the morning, afternoon, and night. And there's like, there's three main sites-ish, but realistically, I was trying to find anything and everything. And, you know, I'd be checking 10 different sites a day. It was a lot. And so that'll lead us into a little bit later. But that's part of what really fueled, the app that we have launching next month. So did that part of my survival job. I started working with this wonderful mentor. Her name is, Janet Urban. And, she was teaching me how to do some behind the scenes work. And that's how I started making very good money. While I was building contacts inside the industry. And then I started meeting some casting directors and helping them with work.
Because that was her whole concept, right? That was her whole concept. You know, do the work, the PA work, right?
Yeah, production assistant. Mm-hmm.
Production assistant work, and you'll get to meet people because networking, especially if you can work alongside somebody, which is informal networking, but extremely effective, is how you get discovered, or, you know, and learn skills along the way. It's brilliant.
Oh, absolutely brilliant. And, you know, I actually go back and I'm a mentor for her group now, because she's a sound designer, a sound engineer and everything. And so I'm more of a, I'm an actor, so I will speak to her group sometimes as more of what this world looks like from an acting. So it feels really cool to kind of be going back and be teaching for some of my mentors now. I'm like, are you kidding me? but, or, and so that was a really fun process and stuff. There was, I will say there was a certain amount where I started saying yes too much, and I was working like a crazy amount just because I was so excited about the industry, and it was like really the first time in my life that I'd been making a serious paycheck. And so I kind of burned myself out and was starting to work on trying to find that balance a little bit more. As I know some of the listeners, you know, they've heard your story and stuff. This was right around the time when we started to find out that you had MS. And it just, the way that some of my jobs were working, you know, I was doing okay financially, and I was worried about you. So I did. I decided to, you guys live 15 minutes away from a bus stop that is direct access to New York City. So I decided to move home base to home with you guys in Maryland. And with the idea of like, oh, let me just be here a couple of months, and then, you know, I'll go up occasionally for a job if I need to. and Mom, was I there like 2 years?
Yeah, well, fair to say the New York City market is a whole lot better.
Yeah,
you know?
Than, you know, the Baltimore does have some stuff. And I do, like, during the first time I was there and the second time I was there, I did end up getting some job and work and opportunities, but
you
I had just had killer contacts in New York, and they are, they're obviously one of the top three areas in the U.S. for that. So it was interesting. I remember getting really frustrated with some of my colleagues. I want to say friends, but they kind of just turned into colleagues after a while, of, you know, me trying to explain to them that I wasn't living in the city, and I would turn down work, and I'd only come up, you know, two or three times a month. And some of them like straight up said some really rude stuff to me, like, oh, well, you quit, right? You gave up on acting. And I was like, excuse me? No, I'm taking care of what I need to take care of in life. You know, I have some other responsibilities, and, you know, and also, and you never made me feel like it was a responsibility to come and be with you, but I really felt that was part of what I wanted to do.
Well, it was great. Yeah. And, and Dave, my husband, Jana's stepdad, who, works downtown Baltimore, Jana, he really appreciated knowing that you were here with me. So it all worked out. And of course our dogs appreciated it. The guinea pigs appreciated it. And you learned even more about entrepreneurship, so it's all great.
God.
I mean,
no, it was exactly what was. I mean, so remember at the beginning, I was saying the lesson of like, even though it might seem like a mistake, it's actually
right
what you're supposed to be doing, and it was. It was 100% what I was supposed to be learning, because it redirected my focus. I could have stayed in New York, and guys, I was starting to get some very nice offers for producing and directing and casting. And, you know, I could have booked myself silly and been making, you know, a very nice income. You know, here we are, I think we're 4 years ago since all of that kind of stuff happened. But I wouldn't have been living my passion at that point. I would have been living around the industry, but I wouldn't. You know, I still get this calling to be an actor. I definitely do. And it, we'll talk a little bit more. That's been on hold this year, not because of the industry being on hold, but because I got a new calling to build this app. And so if you have to put like a big dream of yours on hold, you have to know that it's because you're still working towards it from a different angle. And that's what I couldn't figure out when, even though I was working inside the industry, I still felt like I wasn't quite working at, you know, towards being an actor in the same way that I wanted to, even though, yes, that is definitely, there's ways of doing that. And I was starting to see some, you know, some relationships and opportunities. It just didn't feel right. And, you know, obviously this is heart and soul, women of faith, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, that was definitely, to me, when I get those inner intuitions, gut feelings and all that, I feel like that's when, you know, God's telling me to pay attention of like,
yeah, but really, do you want to do this? And,
right.
And I could tell.
And in New York, yeah. You even had the opportunity to produce and star in your own show. That was incredible.
Yeah, I did that. Yeah, there's a lot of really good stuff, but I just could tell that it wasn't the angle and direction I wanted to be going.
Yeah.
And I think that that's why so many of my friends at the time were like, so you quit, because they saw me go from, I had a really big boom. It looked like I was really, moving some places. Then things, kind of calmed down a little on the acting front because they were really picking up for, behind the scenes. And then I was, they were my friends. So I was being real with them. And I was like, y'all, I'm exhausted. I am working, 80-hour weeks. And they're like, yeah, but you're making so much money and you're doing so many cool things. And I'm like, but I'm exhausted. Then when I told them I was coming home to take care, that sounds so weird, but it was a self-care thing for me too. But I really, I also am glad we got so much time together. But it was just, I definitely got a lot of kickback and flack from people, just like, Jana, you're throwing your career away. Look at all these opportunities that you're just like flushing down the toilet. And I was like, no, I'm not. There's something bigger that I need to be working on. And I had just started to get a taste of it. And that was right. So one of those weekends that I was like ridiculously, unbelievably beyond stressed and could not handle it. And I was like, Mom, I'm gonna come home and be with you this weekend. And you were like, okay, Dana, that's really great. I have a training in Las Vegas, so I'm not gonna be home. And I was like, but Mom, I need to come home. I need TLC. And well, why don't you just come out to Vegas and hang out with me? And sure. So I did. And like I said, it meant
it's amazing.
To me, because if I hadn't gone to that training, I wouldn't be working on the app. That I
right.
am. Here I am. I think that's 3 years later. That was
but
the
before,
weekend
before
that I
But before you
really,
go down there, I want to shine the light on something that you're focusing on. So what you did is you listened to God speaking to you, maybe through your mom, maybe, definitely through your intuition. And, you did have quiet time with God. So however, God has multiple ways of speaking with people. And you realize that as much as you valued your friends, that you actually needed to turn a deaf ear to them. The whole story of Job is coming to mind. Friends can be a real pain.
And it's hard. It's not that, it's some of those people are still in my life, some of them not as much. And it wasn't like I specifically called them up and said, hey, you're not serving me anymore, so we're not going to talk anymore. I didn't do anything like that. But you start to see a natural progression of who is feeding the kind of person you really want to be and who is putting more of their spin on who they're expecting you to be. And that's not too cute. I started to get
and,
that.
And also,
people.
Too, I got to interrupt. Sorry.
Yeah.
And also, too, what people think of as the traditional path to success in the film acting, theater industry. So you went your own road.
I did. And, it was, So Vegas got introduced to Codebreaker Technologies, bank code, that kind of stuff. So I'm tying it together. It will come back around. but the other really, it's going to happen. The other really important thing that was happening at this time is I started getting more Facebook messages and emails and calls from people like, Jana, you're working so much. What are you doing? And, I would send people off to, some of my other mentors and be like, oh yeah, they got it. They got it. But then there were times when people were like, no, Jana, I want to talk to you. And I was like, oh, well, okay. And so, I'd start having conversations with them and just, trying to do a little bit of mentoring and guiding myself and realizing that, yes, as much as I am sharing, some information that I get from my mentors and my coaches, I swear to you, it's God. He pulls things together. There are things that come out of my mouth that I was like, oh, I didn't know I knew that. Oh, that makes sense. Yeah, that's tying together entrepreneur and working behind the scenes and in front of the camera and this path. Yeah, no, that makes sense. Let me give that advice. And so that's when I started, like, coaching and mentoring started becoming a little mm-hmm. bit of a thing, and I even got brave enough to start charging for it. Oh my gosh.
Well, there's one other thing you got brave enough to do, and we have to give a yes. shout out to our dear friend and mentor, Brigitte Hufle, let's say her name, who has also been a guest on Heart and Soul about yes. a year ago. You guys, I gotta tell the listeners something. It was amazing. I was with Jan and Brigitte when this happened. Brigitte had gotten to know both of us really well. And Brigitte, Jana, did you mention the book thing first or did Brigitte?
She did. Okay. Totally her. I said it was around that
Tell
weekend
the story.
Of, well, okay, so I'm watching, you know, I'm out there learning about bank code, code breaker technologies, personality science, et cetera. And I'm like, huh, well, this is cool. I feel like there's something in here that has to do with acting, but I can't put my finger on it. And, you know, I'm kind of like spinning my wheels, stuck on it, and we're having dinner with Brigitte or, and, you know, I'm trying to tell her, and I'm telling her, hey, I think I could fit in this area and this area and this and this and this and this, you know, but I obviously hadn't fleshed it out. And she goes, well, do you want to write a book? And I was like, oh, well, yeah, I should probably write a book. And then Mom and Brigitte had some conversation while I just pulled out a notepad. So by the end of the dinner, I turn over to Brigitte and I'm like, here's my outline for my book. And she's like, I'm sorry, what? So I was like, yeah.
And then she challenged you to put some more meat on the bones overnight,
yes.
you know, that evening.
Yes.
She, you know, she thought, well, yeah, okay, we'll see a little bit more in the morning. And she was, I will never forget how blown away she was when she saw what you did. You put in quite a few hours, but it was incredible.
It's that moment of inspiration. And, you know, I really pray that everybody has that opportunity to feel that in their life, because it's like, wow. You know, that moment when you're just on fire and you feel like so focused and, you know, even if you don't realize that you know the information, it's just God coming out of you, just like, okay, this is all of your past experiences. I'm pulling them together, and now you are, you know, pushing out a synthesized version that includes all of your back history, your experience. Because this so this original book, which has not seen the light of day, I'm really not sure if it ever will. I'll explain why that will in a second. Because this was like 3 years ago. And trust me, it wasn't like I worked on it and put it to bed. Okay. So it was like I was talking about, you know, how to use personality science and the codes in, you know, auditioning, in working with an agent and manager, with a casting director, with marketing, with if you're doing a playwriting. So it was – I just ended up pouring into all different areas of the industry. And I wrote this, like, and then over the next, like, 6 months, I wrote a 100-page manuscript. Mm. And these,
our basement, boys and girls. This is where it all happened, in our basement.
In the basement, or beside my bed on a
yeah.
tub, because I didn't have a desk in my room, so I just had a tub of books and – Well, the dog mm-hmm. sat on the bed and stared at me. Yeah, that was
That's
cute.
Right.
And so it was like I get excited when I go back, and I still have that manuscript. I printed it out, and, you know, sometimes I'll read through it if I'm stuck, because it was basically my thesis paper of
right.
how I see personality science being an important component for our industry. And so it's amazing to me. I'm serious. They're just like, I'm telling you, there was divine intervention and
yeah.
some divine inspiration involved here, because I would sit up in my room for hours. I was tired all day. And the next thing I knew, it was 2 or 3 a.m. and I was just on a roll writing.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know, you know, I get we're all built differently. So not everybody's going to have inspiration strike in such the same way. But when you go from being I'm exhausted to, yeah, but I'm excited about what I'm doing, so I can push through anyways, that's the good stuff right there. That's
yeah.
when you know
mm-hmm.
that you are
what do you say? Operating within purpose, living
there
on purpose.
There you go. We'll do it. Yeah.
Yeah.
On purpose. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Very good.
So that, you know, that was great. And then, you know, I take that to Brigida and, you know, we're trying to brainstorm how to take this to, you know, the heads of the company for Codebreaker Technologies, which wasn't even Codebreaker Tech at that point. They hadn't built out all their tech. It was mainly bank code and Codebreaker. So next thing I knew, it was inspiration to write courses and education around it. And so then it was back to the basement, back to the tub in my room. I wrote like four different curriculums spanning like 10 days worth of education and participation guides and slide decks. And I mean, it was awesome. And so then it was again, okay, well, how do I take this to Codebreaker and get them to integrate stuff? And, you know, bless them. They're huge business owners themselves. So they have their own set of things that they have to get done. And
so say
know,
their
they
name.
Were encouraging
say, let's give a shout out
yeah,
to them.
Sherry Tree and Esther Wildenberg. And, you know, we were even doing some, you know, masterminding and stuff with them. And so I definitely appreciated the, you know, insight and, you know, motivation and that they were, you know, sharing, but it never felt quite right for us to be, you know, fully integrating and working together. Because it just, the branding and everything didn't quite make sense. And so it was like, well, darn. Okay. So I just started going out and I was like, all right, I'll do this, you know, on my own and it'll be fine. And so I started working on teaching live classes and did all of the, as those of us in the entrepreneur world know, the webinar, built free webinar you have to do beforehand, the like trying to fill classes, so much different stuff. And I had set up the whole year preparing to teach live classes, which was, you know, I had had a history in live productions and everything, so I felt very capable and comfortable with,
you were so,
you know,
excited about it.
I was, and I was going to be traveling. 2020, I was going to be traveling all over the country. I think I had like 15 different trips lined up. And then obviously COVID hit, and it was like, yeah, no. and I was scared. I mean, I really was, because I was starting to get some more opportunities. It was, by the way, part of the reason I stayed with you guys for so long instead of moving back to New York is, even though I kept thinking, no, this is next month, I'll move back next month. I just never felt it in my gut to move back. I just didn't want to. I kept getting more and more tired with every, you know, 2 or 3, 4 or 5 day trip that I would take. And thank you. Shout out to friends that let me stay on their couches. Love you.
rabbits and
you
all.
You know, yes, I've had rabbits jump up on me in the middle of the night. I've had dogs sniff at me, cats sleep on me. I just was like, okay, I think I'm getting
a
little
too old. You're
a
magnet for animals, Jana, let's face it.
I guess so. And, you know, so it was just becoming, it was too much. And I was just getting, and even the idea of like, oh, but Jana, if you live up there, you'll have your own place. And even though, quote unquote, own place, we all know that means at least 1, 2, 3, 4 other roommates. You know, I couldn't do it. I couldn't get the excitement up. Versus I started getting some more opportunities in Atlanta around Codebreaker Tech, which was becoming a tech company at that point, and around acting. And so it just kind of felt like all signs point to Atlanta. So I did end up making that move literally just a few weeks before the whole lockdown last year. And
including that's where Brigida lives, our mentor. So
yes,
that was cool.
Brigida. and so it was suddenly I was in a new city. So I was not with the parental units who were taking care of rent. Thank you guys, by the way, that helped me save money.
You're welcome.
You know, I was in a new place. I didn't have my work contacts to shoot up to New York and, you know, make a few $1,000s. Like, you guys, I had some good work lined up. I could go up there, you know, make a few $1,000s a month and come back down and it was no problem. But I didn't have that and I didn't have the contacts and things, you know, live production was shut down. And so I was really having to push harder into my coaching, you know, which I had never done on like a mass scale. I had started to plan out the mass scale version of it. But again, that was live classes. So I had to then go back in and how do I completely revamp everything? And I think that that's just an important skill for everybody. You just have to learn how to pivot and adjust. It's okay if you need to sit and be frustrated. Like, you're allowed to be frustrated, but at some point you just got to keep moving and make an adjustment.
Beautiful.
And so that's when
we need to shine a light on that, Jana. I mean, you're speaking fast because you want to get everything in an hour.
I do.
But that is a huge point.
Yeah. It's just, you can only do so much to plan exactly how this or that is going to go. And it's funny. What is the whole, you know, want to make God laugh, make a plan.
That's
I think
right.
That's what it's. So that was pretty scary. And, you know, I contemplated moving back up, but then I met a boy and a man, excuse me, you know, as one does. And he was fantastic. You know, for a while there, he was actually the only person I saw because of the lockdown.
Like, of COVID, right?
It was ridiculous.
I'm glad you met him before the lockdown.
I know. It was literally just to, you know, it was like I came down here 2 weeks later, I met him, and then a week after that, the world shut down. And I was like, wait, what? So I got to give him a shout out and thank you for, you know, supporting me, you know, mentally and emotionally as I figured out like full on entrepreneuring. So a lot of the stuff I described to you guys when I was in New York, that's freelancing. That is somebody else has the job and you get hired to do it. Entrepreneuring is you create the job, you create the opportunity, and you got to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is a lot different. Beautifully, right around that time, Mom and I were doing this masterminding with Codebreaker, and I met my now business partner. His name is Lorenzo Hickey, and hi, Lorenzo. And he's obviously, I mean, he's been a very successful entrepreneur and stuff himself. Helped with like 18, 19 startups, and which some have gone public even. And it was just really a blessing. Like, we started out small. He saw that I was saying, I want to put some of my curriculum online and see if I can make some of them like evergreen so that I don't have to constantly teach. So he was really, you know, nice to help me, you know, set those things up. And I'm asking him about, okay, well, how much do I charge, you know, or not charge, how much do I owe you for this and that? And he was like, we'll talk about percentages or something, but no, I believe in you. You got this. And so, you know, after like a month or two of that, of me just continuing to crank out curriculum and then him giving me an assignment and me doing above and beyond, he was like,
immediately,
he really
couldn't believe how fast you were doing.
I don't know. I got it. I mean, I have a gift for curriculum building, I suppose.
You
and,
do.
It was just, it was, I remember a conversation. He's just like, okay, but what are you really wanting to do? Like, what is up? And so we had a couple of really incredible conversations where I was talking about, you know, the personality coding and where I see this being beneficial for actors and how I see this coming into play into the industry. And he just kept going, I have the tech for that. I have the tech for that. That's possible. Yeah, if we do this, nope, that can be possible. And so, you know, next thing I know, I mean, obviously here we are like a year later, but actually not even a full year. Like, we are going to launch this app next month that is going to be, you know, after maybe 10 months of a full partnership, which is kind of crazy if you actually look at the scheme of things of how long it takes to get tech companies up. So this has been incredible. We still have so much to do, but it's okay. So I guess that kind of brings me, I think we've just about done it, so bringing people up to today of, you know, we're about to launch. And, you know, even though I have no full guarantee that this is the answer and this is exactly what it's going to be, it's just every time I've gotten that seemingly no of thinking I knew, like, how things were going to turn out and exactly what the tech was going to be. But this tech has just continued to evolve. So, you know, if you had asked me 6 months ago which we didn't even know it was going to be an app 6 months ago, but, you know, if I told you what the concept was, it is now evolved 3 or 4 times more than that. So that's what I'm saying.
Like,
every time
adjust.
God puts a no. Yeah, I mean, and every time God puts a no in front of you, a seemingly no, it's just like, I got something better, hang tight. And that's exactly what's been happening. You remember how crushed I was when I figured out, like, I don't think we can actually partner with Codebreaker. It just doesn't make sense. And I was so lost and confused.
Just because of the branding issue. Yeah.
Yeah. And it was like, how do I do this myself? And, oh, my gosh.
It was scary.
Energy. I was terrified. And I really was like, I think I need to move home because this is how I was going to make money this year. And I can't afford rent. And what do I do? And so, you know, then Lorenzo happened, you know. Happened.
And the really cool thing, you already mentioned it, but was that we met Lorenzo through Sherry and Esther, through the mentorship program we were in. So, and they continue to bless you and your work and Lorenzo and his work. And so it's all great. You're still working on the concepts of personality science and all of that. But at any rate, explain to people, this is part of how actors can create their own big break. That's what your whole story is. But explain to people, what is this revolutionary app that's going to help actors and arts educators?
Here we go. So
here we go.
Socrates tells us that luck is the intersection of opportunity and preparation. So what our app does is it is our app is that intersection, we like to say. The actor's casting technology, which is what we called it 6 months ago, has now really evolved into the actor's casting course content technology because we just kept partnering with more people. So now we have a database where you can search up castings, which let me talk about that in a second. But we also have a database where you can search for courses and education. And so we're partnering with even more teachers and educators and stuff. So if you have a course, like, go on our website and apply to be on the app. We would love to share and bring more people to you. And so what we did with the castings, though, was this was when I first found out about Bank, and my first idea around it was I did a small study, and since then I've done I've done something like several hundred castings that I've studied and everything since. But I did a small study and I was like, is there a correlation between an actor's personality and the personality of the castings that they are, the characters that they are being booked as? And yes, there seriously is. I think we're looking at something like over 90% of the time there is a correlation, there is a connection. And so that was huge to really get to the bottom of that and be like, oh my gosh. So how do we let actors know this? And so our first thing was me trying to go, oh, well, I have to go back to New York, so let me just call up the casting site, see if I can sell them the concept, and then they'll deal with it. And, you know, they kind of were like, yeah, I don't know. And again, that was just God putting a no.
It was revolutionary. Yeah.
Yeah. And it was God putting a no in my face of like, oh, no, the casting sites don't like it. I guess this isn't a thing. And it was like, no, you have to do it. And I was like, oh. So, you know, it's taken me a few years to do it myself. But what we're doing is we partner with multiple casting sites. I think we're up to, by the time we launch, we'll have something like 10 different places that we're pulling casting from. And so you can go on our site and those of you that are actors, it's the normal thing where you're still looking up location, gender, ethnicity, those kinds of dealios. And what you can do, moreover, is so you do that, and we'll show you all of those, except we're showing it from all 10 places. So you click on a casting, and instead of going to, you know, one site, you get sent to any site that comes from. So next thing you know, you don't have to have 10 tabs open on your browser, and you're not having to put in the same information over and over again, which is why, remember when I said it used to take me 2 or 3 hours a day to do this, that was because of that. So now you get to go to one place and we, you know, and you do it once and you get sent to the right place. So
great.
That's freaking awesome. on top of it. And so that all of that launches next month. We're about 2 months away from doing the full integration of the next steps of the tech. But what we do do is we have education where we can teach you how to do it yourself. So if you're like, hey, I want to do it myself if I don't want the tech to do it, or I trust the tech, but I also want to know how to do it myself. So that's what we're doing starting next month. You can come to some more of our classes on it. But what the tech is essentially going to do is we look through every single breakdown and we assign a character code to it. So we tell you what the personality is of this character, and then you look at yourself because you'll take a quick 60-second assessment and be like, okay, well, this is my character code. This is my code. This is my personality code. This is my bank code. And you can start lining up, and we will point and say, hey, these characters match you, so you have a higher chance of booking it based on all of the research that we've done with castings. So probably spend your time here. That's how you're going to supercharge your career, is because you're not going to be wasting time, energy, and finances in areas that you're less likely to book. You're going to stay focused on things that you have that higher connection to.
So you can stop chasing, rabbits down trails that won't really lead to much.
Exactly. So this thing is just continuing to grow, and I'm sure even 6 months from now there'll be components integrated that we never even had, ideas of. Like the call I just got off of before joining you guys was, this other woman that owns a tech company that has a lot of components of different things that we've been thinking about wanting to add, later this year, and she already has it built out. So we're trying to figure out how we can work together. I mean, it's awesome. And it's
collaboration
honestly,
is key.
Yes, it's a rising tide raises all ships. And so there's definitely been companies that I've interacted with that I get the initial fear mentality from them and the lack. And they're like, oh, I think we're overlapping, so we probably shouldn't partner because, and I'm like, no, we want to partner because that's we're not worried about any of that. Like, so it's been cool. We've only had like one or two where we're circling back around, because as we continue to grow and we get to build up the concept more, they'll get to see it even better. So I don't take any no as a full no. I just say, okay, I'll come back to you later.
No, not yet.
But yeah, no, not yet. So
that's
wonderful. Act now. It's coming. We want to revolutionize the industry in a very positive way to make things easier for people.
Jan, I want you to cast a vision. I can't help it as a coach myself. Where do you see yourself in 10 years? And oh, by the way, I think we should mention that certain young man's name. We gave names to everybody else. Who is this person in your life, Miss Jana?
Yes, his name is Tyler.
And do you like him?
So I do. Thanks, ma'am.
Oh, you're so welcome. All right, so cast a vision for 10 years from now.
Act Now will be a staple in our industry of, methodologies of how people look at roles. And then also, kind of like Google is the one place that one of the major search engines. We want to be a major search engine for people in our industry, so that they're finding trustworthy. They know that these sources have been vetted. People have looked at them, and they're going to be good to go. So that's where I want to be. And, I say hopefully because I know you either claim something definitively or there's a little bit more of the hopeful thought into it. And so I feel like there is going to be, some acting, movies and different stuff for me, but I want to find that good balance between going out and doing an occasional project. But I really do, I'm getting more and more excited about, I don't need this crazy giant life of living in New York the whole time or LA or a major city. Tyler is very much he's a country boy. And, we talk about, living, in the mountains or, a little bit off the grid and never really thought that was something for me. But the more I think about it, the more I'm like, oh my gosh, there's rest and relaxation.
Yeah.
And then I actually remember I was going back and, I found some I remember doing some projects in elementary school. They're like, you know, create your dream house and different things. And I remember it was like a big ranch and a big farm with, you know, animals and stuff. And then I thought back even further, or even not further, but even more recently. I remember in college telling my classmates, because I never really wanted to move to one of the giant cities. I was like, I want to live in a more quiet area and then just get called in for work. And they were like, oh, Jana, honey, baby, sweetie, that's not how that works.
Good luck with that.
And
yeah.
I was like, exactly. And I was like, no, but seriously. And now we live in a world where self-taping is a huge thing because you can't go to an audition in person as easily anymore.
Mm-hmm. Good point.
So, and I'm building connections. So if people know you, they're more likely to call you in and they're more willing to trust a self-tape. And so I really do think that, you know, that vision that I kind of had put in my heart, you know, all the way back in college, I'm seeing it come into fruition, and it's kind of cool.
I love it.
In ways that you just don't see coming.
A theme that I have certainly heard as you've gone through your life story is that, you know, be open to change and risk. But I do want you to address how that plays out with personality codes, you know. How does a blueprint, how does a nurturer, how does a knowledge type person handle risk? And because not everybody listening to this, not every actor or wannabe actor, entrepreneur or wannabe entrepreneur is a big risk taker. So what is your advice for the four different primary personality codes?
You're welcome. Yeah, thanks. We know that actions are the people that most likely to take action and not scared of risk as much. Blueprint, they're like, literally we talk about their driving why is to mitigate risk, is to avoid it. And so it's not something that you can do all together. It just means that you might have to do some more planning so that it doesn't feel like risk.
Yeah.
So, and then a knowledge is similar. You might have to do more planning. You might have to get more information. You might have to really look at, you know, you might have to do some statistical analysis for all I know, you know, to make sure that you feel supported in that risk, but it's still possible. And then a nurturer will probably want to know that there's going to be, you know, a community, a supporting, loving community and stuff around to help them through it. So, I mean, it's part of life. Like, obviously, you just take a risk getting in the car in the morning. So you just have to ask yourself, what scale are you comfortable playing at, and how do you prepare yourself mentally through different areas to level up to, you know, bigger layers of risk when needed.
Beautiful answer. Beautiful answer, Jana. Brava. Well, how can people reach out to you and learn more about this? And I know you said at the beginning. There
actnow.biz.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can find me on social media. I'm one of the very few Jana Beesons out there. And, you know, it's an actor headshot. So if you do see somebody else that's not, you know, there are like one or two other Janas. It's the only one with like a professional headshot as a photo. But definitely actnow.biz. We have a lot of ways of whether if you want to be in the app yourself, if you want to download the app and use it, if you just want to contact us and, you know, have thoughts or anything. Like we're a startup, so we're open to feedback and we want to hear from people.
Well, Jana, you've been terrific here, honey. Is there anything else you want to share before we start closing out here?
No, it's been good. And as you know, I already got to jump to my next call. So as much as I would love to keep talking to everybody, I guess we'll continue this on a more, you know, another basis. So if anybody else needs anything, you can find me in one of those other locations.
Oh, you're great. All right. So this is JanaBeeson.com that we're speaking to. I have a friend who used to get so – he'd just crack up. He just called me JoriFisher.com. So, okay, so you're JanaBeeson.com. I'm JoriFisher.com. Jana, why don't you go ahead and hang up, and I'll close this out because I know you do need to jump on another call.
Well, thank you, guys. It's been a pleasure. And thanks, Mom. It was fun talking to you.
Absolutely. Okay. Love you. Bless you, honey. Have a great time.
Thanks. Love you. Bye.
Well, thank you, everybody, for listening to Heart and Soul for Women of Faith. And, of course, I want to give a big thank you to my friend David Nephew. That's Nevue. You can go to davidnevue.com for sharing his gorgeous music on the show. Again, please visit joryfisher.com for free resources. Go to crackmycode.com/report to rank your values and get your free personality report. JanaBeeson.com to learn even more about my amazing daughter. May the Lord bless you, keep you, and be gracious unto you. And may the Lord help you fulfill your purpose and achieve divine success. Bye-bye. Thank you.